Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Somebody give God a praise. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. You can be seated. Praise God. Thank God for worship. It is the gateway. And you need to make sure that you worship at home and worship in your car. While you're worshiping, keep your hands on the steering wheel. Hello. But we need to make sure that we make worship part of our lifestyle. Amen. I believe it with all of my heart. I believe that doors are open and things begin to fall off and fall away when we worship God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. I'd rather be in church than the best hospital in West Palm Beach. Amen. And God is alive and God is moving right now. If you didn't know that, you better ask somebody. Amen. Look at somebody. Is God moving? Is God moving? Is God moving? Yes, he is. Amen. And so we're so excited about what God is doing. I am so happy to be back. I'll be at camp this week, and I'm looking forward to that. And we're going to lay hands on some kids and knock them down. And when they fall down, we're going to pick them back up and knock them down again. Amen. And so we'll have a chance to minister to your kids and your leaders. And I am so excited about that. I think this might be about my 14th time to be at camp. And it never gets old, y'all. Never gets old. And so I realize there's a lot going on in the NBA with free agency and all of that. But I ain't mad. I ain't mad. And I don't know about your favorite teams and all of that. And I think the Miami Heat, they're getting some new players in. And he's like, who cares? Who cares? All right. And but God is good, man. I can't tell you enough how much or how good God is. And we had a great time in the first service. We're going to have a better time in this service. You're weak. You're weak. You're weak. And we're going to have a good time in the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word. Lead us and guide us. Help us to understand. Bring revelation of who you are, Lord, and what you're doing in the earth today. We love you and we thank you. The Word, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, that we might grow thereby. It is our heart's desire to grow in you, to flow in you, to do your will. And we give thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody shout, amen. Amen. No, say it like me. Amen. Amen. All right, then. 3 John, look at verse number 2. I'm going to start over there this morning. I want to share a message with you about getting your soul under control. Get your soul under control. The reality is that you and I, we don't just have an outside life, but we have an inside world and an inside life. And it's God's desire that your outside world line up with your inside world and so forth and so on. And in fact, it is the inside world that is going to dictate and accentuate to your outside world what's going on, what's up, what's happening. And so part of our initiative at the Rock Church this year is the hashtag Grow 2019. We're encouraging all of our members to grow, to endeavor to grow, to aspire to grow. We have a book club. We just finished reading a book called Rebuilding Your Foundation of Faith by Pastor Dean Brown out of New York City. We're just finishing up Brother Hagin's The Authority of the Believer. Amen. And if you haven't read that, you've missed half your life. Amen. And then I'm also now working on a book called Switch On Your Brain. Look at somebody and say, switch your brain on. And so it's by Dr. Caroline Leaf. She does a marvelous job fusing the Word of God together with scientific study. She is an absolute intellectual as well as an absolute spiritual woman. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like I am. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And she is a marvelous teacher of the Word of God and really does a marvelous job. There's something about your thinking and your brain and how you think really does matter. When I'm dealing in my men's conferences with brothers and pornography. Come on, give me an amen now. We know that even among women that pornography is starting to become a very big deal. And the whole idea about your thought life is that your thought life and how you think is really what is manifesting the realities in your life. And so you cannot afford to have your thoughts all met. Oh, I can't get a praise the Lord right there. All right then. You can't have your thought life all messed up, thinking about your daddy leaving you and your mama leaving you and nobody wanting me and everything, and I don't know what I'm going to do about myself. No, what you're going to do about yourself is you're going to start change, or no, you've already started. You're going to stay in the habit of renewing your mind with the Word of God. Amen. All right? Because really, what you meditate on the most is what is growing in your life. And that's how important your thought life is. Yeah. Don't take that lightly. Because some people say, well, you know, I can just meditate on mess, all kinds of mess, and I'm going to be all right. No. And we're going to talk a little bit about that before we get out of here today. But I want to talk about controlling your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, the inner life, the inner you, the real you, the you that nobody sees. Come on, y'all. Amen. The Bible says when Jesse went down to anoint the next king, he was down there and he laid hands on Jesse's sons. I think he had about seven or eight boys, whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And the Lord didn't have him. The Lord rejected him. The Lord don't want him. He's too ugly. He's too tall, blah, blah, blah. And so Jesse said, I'm going to hang out here till the Lord gives me. I know this is what the Lord wants. And so then they said, well, you know, David is down there, little ruddy little guy, and he's down there shoveling the sheep dung. Come on, y'all. Amen. Every job is important in the kingdom of God. Amen. All right, I won't go there. Amen. And so Jesse steps up, and the man of God lays hands on him and said, this must be the one, and blah, 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 blah. And he said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks into the heart. Okay, and that's why when we talk about you being healthy and growing up and growing well and being healthy in your growth, that means you're healthy in here as well as out here. All right, you're dancing, you got on designer stuff, and you're doing your thing, and the bada da da boom bada 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 boom shaka laka laka laka. Amen. And if we were to cut you open, we would see a healthy you on the inside. Can I get one more amen? Amen. All right then. All right. So you got it. Now, 3 John, look at verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way. Everybody say every way.
Every way.
Say every way again.
Every way.
Now, let me ask you a question. What does every way mean? Every way, always, spirit, soul, body, money, marriage, family, kids, your dog, your dog, your cat. Say it again, every way.
Every way.
In every way. And this is something that is non-negotiable. God will not be pleased if you have it all together on the outside, and as he looks into your heart, there are things that he knows you're going to have to grow up in. Amen. And on and on and on. So everybody can see what's going on in your life on the outside, but in the areas where it really counts, only God can see that. And that's the part that I want to deal with. Amen. Glory to God. All right. He said, prosper in every way, and that your body may keep well, as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. In fact, I greatly rejoice when some of the brethren from time to time, they arrived and they spoke so highly of your sincerity and your fidelity of life, as indeed you do live in the truth the whole gospel presents. I have no greater joy than this, than to hear that my spiritual children are living their lives in the truth. Amen. That means you don't have a baby mama on the side. Can I get one praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Brother Hagin used to say, don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know, man, come on. You wanna minimize the drama. You wanna deal with all of that. If the dude hasn't put a ring on it, he ain't the one.
Amen. Go ahead.
Amen. He's talking about, hey girl, you know I love you. You know I love you. No. You don't get nothing here.
Hello.
Can I get a praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Somebody said, keep it 100. Keep it 100. All right. So he talks about this whole idea of prospering in every way. My mind, my will, my emotions, I have control of those. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. I'm not mad at anybody. I've taught our kids for years at Camp Decision that I didn't know my real father until I was 15 and a half years old. I was in a basketball game, and my good friend said, Tony Dungy's cousin, who I played ball with, said, the man on the top row with the hat and the sunglasses says he's your father. I said, it can't be my father, because my father wouldn't be sitting up in here with sunglasses on inside the building. Amen. So I went home that night and I said, Mom, there's a man showing up at the games and he says he's my dad. What's up? My mother said, that is your father. That is your father. Y'all remember that from Star Wars? That is your father. And I said, oh, Lord have mercy. So my mother and I cried that night, and I could have been a very bitter, angry young brother. I could have put my fist through the wall. My mother wasn't going to have that. Hello. I could have kicked the walls. I could have did drugs and alcohol and went out in illicit sex and lived my life and did my thing and did everything that I thought that I was bad enough to do. You know I'm bad. I'm bad. Come on now. But you realize in your life that you're not better than God.
Come on now.
And if God can arrest the Apostle Paul on a road, then God can arrest you and I on the road that we are on and cause you and I to grow up. Look at somebody and say, grow up. That's the name of this game. Church is not just some kind of a religious experience where you go and put your time in and then you go out and, out of church, you know, and then say, I put my time, You're not just putting in time, you're endeavoring to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God.
Yes.
Amen. To get closer, just to be close to you, girl. Y'all remember Lionel Richie? All right, I'm sorry. All right, I'm sorry. I had a flashback. Spirit, say this after me. Spirit,
soul,
body, and everything else in between. Emotionally, you're a very healthy individual. You're not suffering from abuse. You're not suffering from separation anxiety. You're not suffering based upon family background or ethnicity or my ancestors, brother, my ancestors are all slaves, and you know I struggle. I struggle with that. Well, get over the struggle. It's not the will of God for your life to be hung up on what your family used to do and what they came through. You can break the mold now. Pastor Peggy and I, before we came out, we were talking about generational wealth. We were talking about the fact that you and I, as believers, we should be at the top of the class. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We should be endeavoring to buy land, buy real estate, buy gold, buy bullions, invest, create generational wealth for our children's children. Amen. Pastor Billy Joe, you don't understand. My family was broke. My daddy was broke. His daddy was broke. His daddy's daddy was broke. In fact, when you look in Webster's dictionary of the word broke, it said, see my family. No, that's not good enough. And so the ideal here is that you and I are going to far excel our ancestors, far excel our mothers and our fathers and our grandparents because we're growing in the knowledge of God. Let me have one more amen.
Amen.
All right? That's how important it is. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse number 4. Proverbs 13, verse number 4. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 4, the King James Version, the soul of the sluggard desireth and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. How would you like to be fat in your soul? Amen. I mean, you're healthy, you're fat, you're robust, you're killing on all cylinders, you're firing on all cylinders, you're a healthy individual, you're down the middle of the road, you are well balanced where your life is concerned, in your relationships, on your job, relating to other people. Amen. That's the way that God wants you and I to be and to live. And it permeates to the outside and people see you and they say, man, what's going on? Wow, you look different. You're glowing. You're at peace in your heart. And you're no longer troubled about past relationships. And you're no longer troubled about mistakes that you may have made. You know that you're God's beloved. You know that you're forgiven. You're not under a condemnation or a cloud. Remember Charlie Brown, Pigpen? You're no longer walking around in a cloud. Look at somebody and say, come out of the cloud. Goes on to say that the soul of the diligent is made fat. Proverbs 13, look at verse 19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it's an abomination of fools to do evil. And then it goes on in Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the mind. And there's something about renewing your mind and something about controlling your soul and not allowing your emotions to get to the best of you, amen, or the people to get on your nerves. And she just gets on my nerves. If she looks at me again, I'm going to scratch her eyes. And no, get your soul under control. Amen. We're full of emotion as believers. And there are things that God says no to. And it is not his desire that you walk around life as a believer with your emotions all out of control. The greatest place that this happens is in the marriage relationship. Next week, my wife and I, I better get it right. Next week, my wife and I will celebrate 36 years of marriage. Yeah. Seems like yesterday, y'all. Amen. But it wasn't always smooth. Our first week of marriage, six months into the marriage, my wife calls me up at work and says, honey, you better come home because I've got something waiting for you. I almost ran home, y'all. Amen. And she said, go on in the bathroom and clean up. I didn't know what that meant. I thought she meant take a shower, newlywed. She meant wash your hands. And so my wife was in there cooking stuff, and I come back out, and she's got food, getting food ready and all that. She said, well, honey, I prepared something special, delicacy. I said, "Ooh, Lord Jesus." I sat down. She opened up the pot, and in the pot, my wife, my new wife, has started cooking a beef tongue. You guys know what beef tongue is? That is the tongue of the cow. That's what I did. I don't kiss no cow, baby. I'm sorry. She had cooked a beef tongue. You take it, you boil it in the water, you cut it open, and there's meat in there, and you eat the meat. But there's only one problem with beef tongue. I don't eat beef tongue.
Hello.
And so my wife and I are going back and forth over this beef tongue, and my wife is trying to bring it out on the plate, and I'm going, no. My wife is going, yes. I'm going, no. My wife is going, if you want to stay in this marriage... And it's obvious that I stayed in the marriage, but guess what? I didn't eat any beef tongue, y'all. Amen. And I'm saying all of this to say that when it comes to your soul, there are things that will present themselves onto your plate, but you don't have to. You don't have to eat them. And that's why where your joy and your peace and your contentment and your self-worth and your self-esteem and how you value yourself is very important to God and should be very important to you. And that's why you just can't go sleeping around and laying down with some old little things. Hey, how you doing? And you say, I'm doing better than you. And you keep on coming to church. Amen. But you ain't giving it up. You ain't giving it out. Come on, y'all. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, but that's a little old-fashioned, Pastor Billy Joe. Everybody's giving it up. No, not everybody. Not you.
Go ahead. That's good.
Thank you, Lord. Dariel. Right? And so we've got to understand that there are things and opportunities for your soul to be out of control. But here's good news. You can bring your mind, your will, and emotions under control to the Word of God. Can I get an amen there? All right. My mother said, that's your father. I said, all right, Mom. And instead of getting bitter at my father, bitter at my mother, I decided to get better.
Hello. Yes. Amen.
And I let it go. I let it go. Look at somebody and say, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. And so there are things in life that you and I are going to have to let go. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. Matthew 22, look at verse number 37. Matthew 22, verse 37, control your soul, your mind, your real, your emotions, the real you that nobody knows. Your self-talk and the way you relate to yourself and where your mind gravitates toward when you get quiet and nobody else is around. And they don't know what you're thinking about. And they don't know about your desire to quit or to cave in or to give up. But God knows, because he sees into your heart. Jesus replied and said in verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. The second is more important, is most important, is similar. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. How much do you love yourself? You need to love yourself enough to take care of yourself.
Hello.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen? To take care of yourself. To value yourself. To look in the mirror and say, self, you're going to be all right. Anybody see The Wiz with Nipsey Russell, Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, Ted Lang, and the lion? I'm going. He was looking in the mirror. He said, I'm going to see the wizard. And then he's looking in the mirror, and he's getting his lion's mane ready, and he's brushing his hair. And he said, my mama used to always say to me, Fleet, Fleet, your name is Fleet? He said, yeah, my mother named me Fleetwood Coupe DeVille. The young kids don't understand what that means. That's a car. That was a car. And he said, mama had high ideas. Amen. God had high ideas when he created you. When he made you fearfully and wonderfully made in his image and his likeness. After the likeness created he him, male and female, created he them. And God placed them in the garden, glory to God, and he wants us to stay in the garden, get back to the garden, and have an attitude as if we are in the garden. Amen.
Amen.
Where things are, when there's provision and things are peaceful and on and on. Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse number 17. Hebrews 6, 17. Hebrews 6, 17. Accordingly, God also, in his desire to show more convincingly and beyond a doubt that those who were to inherit the promises or to inherit the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose and plan, intervene with an oath, and mediate it with an oath, a promise from God. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to redeem you. And that's the promise that you and I have. And it goes on to say, this promise that God made to you and I, it cannot break. It cannot slip under. It will not break under the pressure, no matter who tries to stand on it or step on it. He said, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. When you think about your mind, your will, your emotions, your inside world, there's a reason to be joyful, a reason to be happy. Because God's promise in your life, it will never go away. It won't slip or break down. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
It will never break down. Your soul, your thought life, your will, your emotions, your vitality, your intellect, the conscience of man, the sense of right and wrong, attitudes, motives, intents, your true feelings need to come under the control of the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Just that way. My sister Robin, I can say this because she's never going to hear me say this. Glory to God. My sister Robin, when we were teenagers growing up, she was a little older than me. My mother would get on her, jump on her, get in her face, blah, blah. And she, I hate this house. I hate this house. And slam the doors and go running upstairs. And, oh, look. I mean, she would slam those doors so hard that when I would go in behind, I'm a little guy. I'm trying to go in behind her. I could never, the top of the door would be stuck. I could never get those doors open. Listen, I'm saying this morning, the good news is this. You're going to get every door open in your life that may have been closed, and it may have closed off your emotions and how you really felt and some sense of something that the devil tried to perpetrate against you. But I want you to know this morning, you are free. You are for whom the Son sets free is what?
Free indeed.
Is free indeed. Look at somebody and say, indeed, I'm free.
Indeed, I'm free.
So you got to understand and know that.
And so you're controlling your soul in these areas of your life. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, I didn't get here in the first service, but I'll go here now. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of breath of life, the soul and the immortal spirit and joints and marrow, and the deepest part of our nature, exposing and shifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and the purposes of the heart. God knows exactly what's going on the inside of my life. He knows my intent. He knows my purpose. He knows what's going on when I lay down at night. That's why David said, the psalmist said, we can never hide from God. If I go down to hell, if I make my bed in hell, you are there. So God goes everywhere you go. Amen. He knows where you think. He knows where you're struggling. He knows what's going on in your heart, the deepest recesses of your heart. Glory to God. And thank God that God is there. He will always be there. He will always be there for you. Amen. But you and I have to act on what we believe. Amen. We used to sing a song, I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. I got peace like a river, peace like a river, peace like a river in my soul. Y'all remember that? And the real key here is to really have peace like a river in your soul. Right? All right then. Praise the Lord. I was telling everybody in the first service that my goal, I was a New York Giant for one day. My best friend was a wide receiver there, and I thought becoming a professional football player would be the be-all, cure-all of life. And I got had a chance to go to New York for a softball game between the Giants and the Islanders, and I'm in the dugout with the Giants hanging out. Who's up? And the New York fans would not take the fact lying down that I kept saying, I'm not a player. They said, yes, you are. You're lying to us, sign some autographs. So the New York players kept saying, Billy Joe, just sign them. Sign the banner. Sign the posters. Sign autograph. So I'm in the dugout. I wanted to be a professional football player, so I'm with the Giants. I'm in the dugout signing autograph. Number 23, BJ Watts, God bless you. So somewhere in New York City, somebody has my autograph, amen. But I found this out, that nothing, being a New York Giant for one day, doesn't even come close to controlling my soul and being a part of the body of Christ. Nothing compares to that. Because people say, I want to be rich. I want to have a lot of money. I want to be on the lifestyle of the rich and the famous. I want to have a lot of stuff. No, Jesus said a man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of things that he possesses, even when he has a lot. So rich is really an inside job. Because you can have a lot of stuff and still be poor on the inside. No peace. You said, say it again. You can have a lot of stuff. Brother says, say it again. I'm going to say it again. You can have a lot of stuff and still be poor on the, no peace, no joy, can't sleep at night. I know some people that just can't even sleep at night. They're so messed up. They never get a good night's rest. They never sleep. They don't sleep well. And they say, I have trouble sleeping. I haven't slept in 3 days. I haven't slept in a week. You know, that's dangerous. That's not healthy. Everybody say, that's not healthy. God intended for you to sleep. He intended for you to rest. He didn't intend for you to be looking over your shoulder and uptight and looking at the shadows. That's why I don't watch horror movies and all that kind of stuff before I go to bed. Get out! I don't watch all that. I don't do any of that. The Exorcist, Exorcist 1, Exorcist 2, I don't watch all of that. Because whatever it is that you look at or listen to before you go to bed is going to pass through your mind 6 or 7 times before you're able to fall asleep. And it will become the very dominant thing that will try to attach itself to your life. And that's why you don't do the whore thing and the flick thing and the dan and that and the thang thing and the nudity thing and the da-da-da-da and the boom shakalaka-laka-laka-laka-laka-laka-laka, amen. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Because what you think on the most, that is what is growing in your life. and you don't like the way your life is going or how you're growing, then you need to begin to what? Renew your mind with the Word of God. You got to get your mind renewed. Put on Pastor Peggy. Put on Pastor Angel. Put on some pastors. Put on some things that you can listen to that will encourage your spirit. I go to bed. My wife and I go to bed every night without fail, either listening to Brother Hagin, listening to Nancy Dufresne, or listening to Keith Moore every night. Every single night. And occasionally, I might watch a little bit of Sanford and Son.
Hey. What's wrong with that?
All right? But you need to be listening and meditating on things that will renew your spirit, renew your mind. Come on now. Amen. Yes. Things that will bless. You know, some of the music you can't even listen to. Because they sang it. And I left her Jesus last night. And I don't know what happened. I'm so confused. Yeah. There's a lot of that junk that you don't want to listen to before you go to bed.
Come on, it's out there.
Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Thank God that we're doers of the Word of God. James 1:22. Turn there, James 1:22. Thank God that you and I are doers of the Word. We're controlling our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. I'm not going to get caught up. I'm not going to get trapped by life. I'm not going to get trapped by what I feel and the way I feel. I'm not going to get caught up on what they called me, what they said about me, what they said about my mom and them. I'm not going to get caught up into what my mother did to me, what my dad did to me, what they said to me, how they hurt me, how they left me. I'm not going to get caught up at what my guardians and my grandparents, the people in my life who were over me, who were supposed to protect me. I'm not going to get caught up on that. I'm going to get caught up on God, who said he would never leave me nor forsake. He would be with me even until the end of the world. James chapter 1, verse number 22 says this, the Passion Translation, don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let your word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. It goes on in the Message Bible to say, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are nothing but letting the word of God go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Listen, those who hear and don't act are like those who glance into the mirror and walk away 2 minutes later. They have no idea who they are or what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed word of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it. Look at somebody and say, stick with it.
Stick with it.
Is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or a woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation, which is a word that means truth. He will find delight and truth in the action. In other words, when you and I act on what we believe,
yes,
you find truth in the action. In other words, the word, you can just hear the word, 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 and never do anything about it in your life. Amen. But when you hear the word, you'll find delight and you'll find truth in the action. In other words, when you act, stop playing games. Stop just coming to church. Stop just acting like you're putting in your time. But when you really act on the word, you will find delight and truth in you, in your action. In other words, your action will become true. You say, I know God. I'm a tither and a giver. I'm a tither and a giver. And I find every time I tithe, every time I have a need, God meets my needs. I am so delighted because I know the word of God is true. when I control my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, what I'm feeling right now, when I put that under, when I control my body, when I control my thought life, and on and on and on, the word of God becomes true. It's not just true to Pastor Peggy. It's not just true to the men and the women of God that do the ministry around here. It becomes true to you. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
When I was in high school, my high school track coach said, Billy Joe, my 10th grade year, he said, Billy Joe, you are a quarter miler. I said, no, I'm not. He said, do you know what a quarter mile is? I said, no, I don't, and I don't want to know. He said, a quarter mile is one time, 400 yards, 400 meters, whatever, or one time around the track. He said, I believe that you could run it. I said, no, I'm not running that. That's not my calling. I'm not doing that. He said, no, you're going to do it, and I believe you can do it. I said, no, I can't. And he said, yes, you can. And my girlfriend was standing over there. She said, yes, you can, baby. Yes, you can. You can do it. And I wanted her to remain my girlfriend, so I said, all right, I'll try it. If I pass out, that's all right. But I can at least say I tried. Amen.
Amen.
So I started running the quarter, and I didn't make it. I made it only about 300 yards the first time I did it. And he said, that's all right. Keep coming back. You'll make it. I came back the next day to practice. I ran it again. And by the time I became a senior, I won in the state track meet, straight tournament. I was second in the state of Minnesota in the 400 meters out of all of the runners that came through regionals and all of that. And then I was coming back my senior year to win it all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I tore my quad muscle, so I didn't make it back. But my coach was right. I was a 400-meter runner. And even though I was not cognizant or aware, which simply means to be aware of who you really are, amen, even though I wasn't aware of who I really was, there was something that my coach saw inside of me. And I'm saying that very thing, same thing spiritually, that concept is true of your life. There are things in you that we haven't discovered yet. They're in you. They're placed in you by God. Come on, amen now. I'm going to minister to the kids this week, and one of my illustrations, I'll have a can of soda. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the pressure, in other words, the pressure on the outside for you to conform, compromise, give it up, don't go, quit going, don't tithe, the pressure on the outside is not greater than the pressure on the inside of that container. You put the pressure on that bottle and it doesn't collapse because of what's on the inside. Because the pressure inside is greater than the pressure outside. And that's why the bottle doesn't collapse. Now, if it's half empty, if it's not full, then it can collapse and be crushed. But I'm telling you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you're not going to be crushed, and you're not going to go under, and you're going to be able to control yourself and to control your emotions and to keep your flesh where it needs to be. Let me go. I'm winding down. Ephesians chapter number four. I was in a Mexican restaurant, and the guys, they hardly spoke any English. That's a good restaurant. And it's authentic. I mean, it's authentic food. And he didn't say, and he came, number four. And I said, well, what's at number four? He couldn't tell me what a number four was. He just said, number four. All right, never mind. I'm sorry. I think about that when I say Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, look at verse 31. We need to control our actions, our inward expressions, our feelings, our mind, our will, the things that we feel emotionally. And it's not okay with God for you to be out of control emotionally. Well, I can feel this way, and they hurt me. You're going to get mad at the pastor and lead a church. I'm mad, and I'm leaving. And that's a soul that's out of control. Why would you leave your man and your woman of God? The funny thing, and I'm a pastor, and the funny thing about it is nobody knows how much the pastor's given out, how much the pastor's poured out. And all you guys see are the people that get mad and their souls are all out of control. And I'm leaving and I'm mad and they made me mad. Jimmy Hockaday used to tell his little girl, listen, sit down. You better get glad in the britches that you got mad in. It's time for you and I to grow up. I tell our people all the time, we had a major, major shooting of a young man in Tulsa, Oklahoma that was murdered, that was killed by a police officer, and she was acquitted. And the people in our town, man, the people in our city were mad, 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 mad. And I told our congregation, and some people didn't like it, but I told them, you are a man and a woman of God before you are a black man and woman of God. And once you get over into this kingdom, you are no longer just defined by the color of your skin. You're a whole lot deeper than that. You're a whole lot richer than that. When people see you, not just a black man or a white man or a black woman or a white woman walks into, or a Cuban person. Are you Cuban? What are you? Puerto Rican. All right. I'm sorry. I thought you were kidding me. You're so much more than that. Do you feel me on this?
Come on.
Don't lose me. Don't let me lose you right there. When you walk in the room, royalty walks in the room. When you walk into the room, the power of God walks into the room.
Yes. Go ahead. Come on.
You're not just some old African American born in St. Paul, Minnesota. You're born of God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I served at Rhema. Can I go there? Am I good? Am I doing all right? Well, all right. How am I, huh? 30 minutes? She said, there is no time limit. She wrote that in her thing to me. I served at Rhema Bible Church, our church in Broken Arrow at Rhema, the school and the church at that time when you were there, possibly when you guys were there, had 5,000 people. Just 5,000 people walking around, all kinds of ethnicities, backgrounds, international students galore all over the place. And I was the only black man on the staff, right? And being on the staff, you just don't understand what I had to deal with as part of the staff. I had white people that didn't like me because I was a black man, okay? And they say, and I had a guy walk up to me and said, I didn't like you when I first got to town from Indiana. I'm like, but I had to do what? Keep my soul what?
Under control.
And then I had black students that would walk up and say, how in the world, my brother, can you serve on a staff with a white man? They didn't think I was black enough. And so this is, Pastor Peggy, this is a dilemma. And I had to, and I, you know, because I grew up, I didn't start any fights, but, I'm certainly going to finish some. Hello.
Go ahead. Come on.
I wasn't a gangbanger, but I'm going to be banging somebody here after a while. Because they thought that I wasn't black enough. And there are going to be a lot of things that are going to be said and thought about you. Believers Victory Church. That's where you go? That's exactly where I go.
Right.
What about it?
Come on.
And in these moments and times of life, you have to what? Keep your soul. Keep your soul. Your soul, and I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going because this is different. This is a whole other message for you guys. You have to keep your soul under control because your soul will want to lean toward race and lean toward, they would have gave me the job if I was another color. You got to keep your soul under control. I went into Texaco Incorporated, the oil company, fresh out of college, and I walked down there, and I needed to leave retail and get another job. And I went down to Texaco, and my background is public relations and advertising with a minor in marketing. And I walked in the front door. Come on, y'all. I walked in the front door, not the back door, but the front door. Amen? Give me an amen.
Amen.
I walked in and the lady's sitting at the desk and I said, good afternoon. How are you? She says, hello. How are you, sir? I said, I'm doing fine. I'm here to apply for a job. My name is Billy Joe Watts. I have a degree in public relations and advertising with a background in marketing, minor in marketing, and I'm here for a job, and I'm going to get a job today, and I'm going to have a job, and I'm going to have a job. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the lady said, well, what do you want to try to apply? I said, public relations and advertising. She says, sir, I've been here for 10 years, and we've never hired anybody from the outside. We've always promoted from within. And I looked at the lady and said, well, then create me a job. And she said, get out of here. As Shambach used to say. And so she said, well, take the application and fill it out. And I took the paperwork and I said, now how long has it been since you hired anybody in the public relations department? She said, sir, I've been here for 10 years. We've never hired it without. We've always promoted from within. I said, well, create me a job today. And I sat down and filled out all the paperwork. I got halfway through the paperwork and I looked back up from the paperwork and said, how long has it been since you've hired somebody in the public relations department and advertising? She said, sir, I told you I've been here for 10 years and we've never hired anybody who walked in off the street. We've always promoted from within. And I looked up as I was seated there and I said, create me a job. And I finished the application and went back over to the counter and I leaned over the counter and I said, now once again, ma'am, how long did you say it's been since you hired somebody in the public relations department and advertising? She says, sir, it's been 10 years. I've been here 10 years. We've never promoted anybody. We never hired anybody who walked in the door. We've always promoted from within. I said, ma'am, create me a job. She said, hang on just a minute. She walked over, looked over some papers. She says, sir, we don't have anything in public relations, but we have something in human relations, which I said, that's my job. I had to get my soul under control. My mind, my will, and my emotions. And I couldn't be stuck on if somebody was stuck on my skin color. I'm not stuck on it. That's all that counts.
Amen. Come on.
Can I get an amen, y'all?
Amen.
Where there's a will, there's a way. You keep on knocking, and I'm telling you, the door is bound to open. But you can't be stuck. Allow myself to be stuck. I'm working on a staff with Brother Hagin, man of prophet of God. The white members are tripping. The black members are tripping. I was the only one not tripping. Why? Because in these moments, you have to what? Help me out.
Control
your soul. Control your mind, your will, your emotions, and understand what the will of the Lord is. And it is the will of God for you to succeed. And it is the will of God for you to go. I have two little girls in my church right now. They don't know it yet. They're both trying to go into business. One does eyelashes. One does eye. You know, eyelashes, ladies can pay like $300, $400 for a pair of eyes. You do eyelashes? You do eyelashes? You were looking at me like you did eyelashes. She's looking at me like, well, if it's $400, I'm going to do eyelashes tomorrow. So I've got these two little girls, two little business girls. So I'm getting ready to invest some money into their business. All I ask is that you remain a lifelong tither, always honor God and put him first. That's all I want in return. Because you need to be able to teach the principle to your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. I say that to say that's why you have to control your soul. You can't get caught up on the exteriors. You can't get caught up on what we call the cultural wars. The cultural wars right now of sexual identification. The cultural wars of the definition of marriage. Now, you're going to talk to people about it. There are going to be debates about it and all of that. But we're not just caught up on that. We are into loving people. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, health, and strength. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say get caught up in what's going on in the culture. Paul said in Romans, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, present your body, living sacrifice, holding acceptable unto God, reading both services. Verse 2, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? 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 Get your mind renewed. The Phillips translation says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Paul's letters to all of these churches really could have been letters that signified, let me help you get your soul under control, guys. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 31. Let all bitterness, indignation, wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, resentment, anger, animosity, quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, baseness of any kind. And become useful and helpful, kind one to another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another. That's the real key. You want to go free? Then forgive all that stuff that's ever happened to you. Let them all go. Let it go. Let it go. That's all I know. I didn't see this cartoon or whatever it was. Jealousy, envy, competition, comparing yourself to others. There's no comparison when it comes to you and anybody else. You were fearfully, wonderfully made. You were supposed to be here. I don't know how you got here. I don't know the circumstances in which you were here, but it was God's plan for you to be born. Your mom, your dad, your teenage mom, your teenage dad, whatever. I don't know. I don't care about all of that. You were supposed to be here. You are here now, and God has a plan for you.
Yes.
And you can't get caught up. And I don't know what to do. And I don't know what to do. Doesn't matter. I didn't know my dad. My mother raised 9 kids by herself. We struggled, man. Man, I was buying Captain Crunch and hiding it under my bed so I could make sure that when I would go down for breakfast in those mornings, as long as there was milk or water, I could eat. I got a little money right now. I can buy some Captain Crunch. But I'm not going to let life cause me to be bitter. Come on, y'all laugh. Somebody laugh. Y'all laugh now. Because some of y'all haven't laughed since you've been. Come on. Get your soul under control. You're free. You're free today. I said you're free today. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, let me close one verse. I'll give you my takeaways, and we'll pray and go. Get you guys out of here. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Here's my last verse. I promise. I'm done. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It was never God's intention for you to compare yourself with anybody else. You are enough. You are enough. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I have a lady in our church. She goes on Instagram and has this video. Hey, guys, how you doing today? Hey, what's up? What's happening? I just want to say, I have a word of encouragement. You are enough. You are wonderful. You are precious. You are beautiful. Did I tell you you're beautiful? You are beautiful. I mean, all these positive, wonderful. I said, girl, come on and do Wednesday Bible, Wednesday night with my wife. I'm going to put you on Instagram. I'm going to put you on my Facebook page. I want you to share that message with other people. If you're not using your gift in this church and you're just showing up on a Sunday and you're running out of here with the message half-baked, but you're not investing your gift in anything, I have a word for you. Shame on you. Every local church needs a leadership pipeline, what I call a leadership pipeline. You know, we got 15 security guys. We got 15 ushers. We got 3 children's workers backing up in case the main person is on vacation. Glory to God. Amen. We've got 3 people that catch turtles in the parking lot. Glory to God. I was down at Keith Moore's a couple years ago, and we go back for this conference down in Sarasota, and they got signs out everywhere that says, beware of alligators. And it's not uncommon. You can come out and there's alligators under your car. Coming out of the little bayou, the little ditch thingy that runs out there. You know how they have those. And it's, beware of alligators. So I asked the guy, man, what are those signs up for? He said, what do you think they're up for, sir? He said, we got alligators. So he was on the alligator catching team. I said, you go here and stay on that team. Amen. Sometimes people don't serve because their soul is out of control. They think I'm not good enough. You know, Pastor Peggy, I would serve, but I came out of a really, really bad situation. Well, bring your situation and come on. Can I get an amen, guys? Oh, man, don't let anything hinder you from becoming the person that you were created. Y'all remember, I'm not into all the Marvel and all that. I did see the Spider-Man thing recently in 4D. But you remember the Spider-Man, maybe it was number 2, and he was all uptight and threw the suit away. Do y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? You young people, y'all remember that? I know you guys remember. He threw the suit in the trash. And I think there's a lot of Christians because their inside world is like, Pastor Billy, you know, I don't know. My inside world is kind of messed up. And they've thrown away things that God really intended for them to keep. Can I get a praise the Lord, y'all? All right, let me close. Here's my takeaways. Let me give them to you quickly. Number one, God knows what's in the soul of man. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the word says he looks into the heart. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're holding on to. He knows areas that you need to let go. There's no condemnation there. I'm just encouraging you to let it go. Amen? Number one. Number two, God knows what's in your soul. Your background, your education, your parents, your upbringing, your ethnicity, whatever it looks like. He knows what's in your soul. You can't hide that from God. Even the things that you keep hidden away from your wife or your husband, God knows the real you. Amen? Amen? Okay. Number three. The good news is Jesus can help you control your soul. That's the good news. He can help your inside world to influence your outside world, because that's really the way it should be. The culture shouldn't be influencing you. It should be the good things that you've placed within your heart that are making a difference where your life is concerned. Amen. Number four, our belief and hope in Christ anchors our soul. Your mind and your will and emotions, they're sure, they're anchored because of the promise of God, our hope in Him. They anchor our soul. And then number five, I threw this one in because I thought it was very important. Rich begins in the soul. It's not a matter of materialism or material things. It begins in here. You're rich first in here. You have it together first in here. Before you get married, you have it together in here. Amen. Well, Pastor Billy Joe, I got married because I was hoping that he was going to make me better. No, just get better, and then you go ahead and bring the better you to the marriage. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. All right. How do I control my soul? Okay, Pastor Billy Joe, fine. How do I control my soul? I'm glad you asked. Let me give you these last ones. Number one, make the right choices. Make the right choices. Why is this important? I told you I've been reading Dr. Caroline Leaf. Because your choices change your brain. That's why making the right choices is so important. Right? What your mind creates, this is still under number one, what your mind creates, only your mind can take away. Well, you know, Pastor Billy Joe, I don't have a lot of value of self-worth. Well, if you're going to have self-worth then you're going to have to program in your mind self-worth. You're going to have to replace the I don't have self-worth thoughts with thoughts that God knows you have self-worth, okay? You got to do it. That's the only way. You got to do it. Make the right choices, number one. Number two, renew your mind. Renew your mind. The Word of God. Like I said, I go to bed just about every night listening to the Word. My wife has on something. Nancy's on Nancy Dufresne's thing now. And is that Nancy? Yes. All right. We're listening to Nancy tonight. All right. Praise the Lord. Nancy does a wonderful job. She's a pastor's pastor. Number three, capture your thoughts. Because here's why. When you think, you build thoughts. And those thoughts become physical substances in your brain. So Wrong thoughts coming. You're not going to make it. You're not going to. You shut your. Yes, I am. You capture.
Hey, come on.
You capture that thought. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You got to capture that. You don't let those thoughts just run wild. You're going to make it. Amen. You're getting ready to write out your tithe check to your church, Believers Victory Church, and a little voice says, "You know, if you write that check, you're not going to have enough this week." You have to capture that thought. You got to capture that, because my God shall supply all of my, according to what? And you got stuff showing up, showing out, God moving, glory to God. You got to capture that thought, capture the thought. Number four, remind yourself you have the mind of Christ. Remind yourself you have the mind of Christ. Amen? Ooh, I got to hurt. Ooh, remind yourself you have the mind of Christ. Number five, see yourself the way God sees you. Amen? You want to relate to people in a healthy way. The greatest, four great temptations of every leader, those with influence, those that go, those who share, those who impart to others. Let me give them to you right quick because I got to give these and then I'll go. Number one is the need to do it all. You know, it's unhealthy for you to have a thought. I have to do everything? No, you don't. That's a temptation of great people to think they have to do it all. Number one, the need to do it all is a great temptation we have to overcome. Number two, the need to be liked by all. How many of you know not everybody's going to like you? Look at somebody and say, "Do you like me? Do you like me?" Number three, the need to have it all. That's a great temptation for people with influence. And here's the last one. The pressure to be it all. You're not going to be everything. You're not going to have everything. But what you do have and can have is a healthy estimation of yourself, because you and I learn to control our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, and our inside world. Can I get one more amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray.